Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Hello and welcome to the thematic discussion on Buy, Hold, Sell. My name is Matthew Kidman. And yes, reporting season at last, it's over. You can hear the sigh of relief going around the city or in our own homes these days being locked down. There was some good, there was some bad and some ugly. There were some absolute rippers and some absolute dogs. And here to discuss it are two of the best in the business. Really looking forward to this. Chris Stott from 1851 Capital and James Garrish from Market Matters. Welcome, gentlemen. Chris, let's start with you. One word to sum up reporting season.
Matthew, I've got two words to summarise: cautious optimism. So, you know, I think reporting season was set up to be one of the best we've seen for over 10 years. I think that was tempered clearly with the recent East Coast lockdowns, and the cautiousness we saw amongst various companies on the outlook statements was really the key feature around that. But I think certainly a lot of companies also did call out that they do expect that you know, once the lockdowns do end later on this calendar year, that the economy will continue on its very positive trajectory.
James, can you do it in one word? Chris needed two.
I can. I'll stick the script, Matthew. So my one word is payouts. I think it's been, you know, it's been a reporting season that's had a huge payout from some large cap, you know, the large cap sectors. So a huge amount of money going back into investor pockets over the next couple of weeks, and that should ultimately find its way back into the market.
Nice. James, I'll stick with you. Chris actually brought it up. Everyone thinks that after these lockdowns, because the lockdowns have come in pretty well post June 30, post these numbers that they've been reported, that there's an element to me of complacency that everyone thinks, well, it'll just, we've seen the playbook before, we know how to read it, everything will bounce back. Do you get that feeling, and is that right?
I actually don't think there's a huge level of complacency in the market. I think one of the themes that became obvious as reporting season went on is, you know, an analyst reluctance to upgrade earnings going out in the next 12 months. So normally, you know, and this is not just an Australian phenomenon, it's globally as well. So normally you see analysts getting reasonably optimistic. They're an optimistic bunch. We often see upgrades going out into the outer years. I think there's a real reluctance and almost a caution in terms of the analyst community around that. So I don't think the market is overly bullish at this point in time, even though we're trading up around all-time highs.
Chris, you've got a view on that, because no one really suspected going back a few months that Sydney, Melbourne and other parts of Australia would be in hard lockdown again. Do you think there is an element of complacency among companies and investors?
Perhaps a little bit, Matthew. It depends on the sector you're looking at. I mean, certainly for travel, you know, everybody's excited about the travel sector as a reopening trade over the next 1, 2, even 3 years. And we just know that it's going to be a bit of a longer process in that regard around the restrictions that are in place for quite a long time, to be frank, around our ability to travel. So in discussions with companies, you know, the difference this year is we don't have the stimulus packages like we did last year. That really carried our economy through that recession we had last year. Let's hope we don't double dip this time around. I don't think we will. But certainly what we do know is that on the consumer discretionary side of things, that last year consumers saved an awful amount of money by staying locked out of home. We think that's occurring this time around again. So certainly consumers' wallets are primed for a big Christmas period for the retail sector, we think.
Okay. One of the themes that when we went into reporting season was the emergence of inflation, and especially so in Australia with people not being able to move around, wages on the rise, commodity prices on the rise. Did you see that come through in any of the results, and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, we did, Matthew. It was one of the key features. In fact, it was probably a bit worse than we thought in terms of cost pressures being highlighted by companies, in particular shipping costs anywhere from 5-10 times their normal rates, extraordinary levels that we're seeing. So it's critical at this point in time, companies' ability to pass on that extra cost to recoup that to preserve margins in a sense. So companies were on the front foot in terms of highlighting that risk going into the new financial year, and it certainly doesn't look like it's going to abate anytime soon.
James, are you worried about inflation? We all saw it. All the companies were talking about it, but no one seems to be too worried about margins.
Yeah, they were. I guess, again, it depends in what areas and what companies have been able to manage it better than others. So we saw margin pressure across the board, you know, in some coming out of some companies, but not others. I mean, the inflationary pressures were really pronounced in, you know, US earnings season has just been. I, you know, looked at a lot over there as well. You know, you've seen lumber prices up 2 to 3 times, steel prices up an equivalent amount. So the pressures are there. In some sectors in Australia, wage pressures were really the focus. So particularly in areas that are relying on workers going in WA, mining services springs to mind there. So in some parts, yes, I think inflation is there. I think wage pressure is starting to bubble away. And obviously that's going to feed into higher prices over time.
Okay, that's the backdrop. Let's get into the guts of it. Give us a stock that really performed well that you thought shot the lights out. James, we'll go with you first.
Yeah, I thought Aussie Broadband was a really strong result. So, you know, obviously the stock has run pretty hard, but they're growing customers at a really strong clip. And I think going into the, you know, if we look further out over the next 12 months, they've got a really interesting pipeline of potential acquisitions. Growth is going to tick higher, I think. So not only has it had a good run, but it's got some catalyst over the next 12 months to drive it higher. So Aussie Broadband was one that I like the look of.
Chris, you got anything that can match that power hose that's Aussie Broadband that really you on the upside?
Tough one to match. Certainly agree with James there. Aussie Broadband is certainly one of the standout results of the season, and the share price certainly reacted accordingly. But one that didn't see significant share price appreciation on the back of a record result was AP Eagers, you know, the largest owners of car dealerships in the country. You know, to James's point, people don't believe that they can maintain all these current elevated margins going into the next 1 or 2 years. And the company made a really good point around thinking to say to the market they think those margins are sustainable, you know, over the medium to longer term. So we think that that's one that certainly was underappreciated by the market but delivered an outstanding record result.
Okay, Chris, stay in your car and drive us around the portfolio. Any major changes, what you're doing with your portfolio post looking at all the companies over the last month or so?
Yeah, still working through those, Matthew, but in summary, you know, we're looking to more of the reopener trades at the moment. So, you know, talked about travel being a place to be probably over the next few years, albeit it'll perhaps be a little bit slower than what some are expecting with the various restrictions that will be in place. Companies like oOh!media, we think, are well positioned from a reopener perspective. You know, we still believe that the economy will continue on its really strong trajectory moving into 2022, perhaps forcing the RBA to push rates up in 23. But in the meantime, we've got, we think, a good 12 to 18 months of good runway ahead for the equity market.
Okay. Keep hold of that steering wheel and tell us what you might be moving out of or avoiding or steering clear of.
Sure. I mean, it's companies in our particular portfolio with low liquidity, so some of these micro caps that have had extraordinary runs you know, over the last 12 to 18 months off the March lows that we saw last year. So it's the companies that, you know, expose a little bit more to the housing market. You know, we think in some cases that they've run a little bit too hard, particularly in the market might be missing some of the elevated cost pressures that we talked about a little bit earlier on. They're not factoring those into their forecast. So that just gives a bit of a sample of some of the companies that have been looking to recycle capital.
James, take us to drive through your portfolio. What's changed from before and after reporting season? Where are you moving into?
Yeah, there hasn't been a huge dramatic change going out of reporting season, Matthew. I think one obvious thing, and it comes to Chris's point, although I disagree slightly on in terms of the retailers, I think, yeah, we've reduced retailers coming out of the reporting season and we've used those funds to increase our exposure into travel and the reopening trade, similar to what Chris has suggested. The reason around there is obviously retailers have come off a really strong FY22. So they, you know, FY22 is going to be comping really strong numbers. They've got to deal with a lockdown in the first couple of months of the year. And then also, you know, the roadmap out of this is all around vaccination. So we're all going to go out there and get the jab. When we all get the jab, we're all going to open up and we're going to stop buying stuff and start saving for travel. So sort of that's how we see things going out in the next 12 months, which is going to be different from the last. And that's how we're positioned accordingly.
With that backdrop, James, does the reporting season, what you saw and that outlook around the virus and vaccinations, does it take the market higher over the next 6 months until we get the next lot of reports?
Yeah, I think it does. But I think, you know, obviously the backdrop for earnings is good, but we've got low rates, we've got heaps of stimulus, we've got accommodative central banks, et cetera. So all of those things factor into the market that I think it pushes higher. So I haven't seen anything in this reporting season that would get me overly cautious. That's probably a scary thing to say at this point in time, and it scares me a little bit. But, you know, from what I've seen, I think we should maintain a bullish stance.
Chris, put some numbers around what cautious optimism means. Next 6 months, the market, can it propel higher? It's had a terrific run.
It certainly can, we think, and it has had a good run. But in terms of what are the risks to the outlook, I think certainly that people are expecting that the economy will fully reopen, you know, in October, November. We just don't think that will be the case with hospital ICU capacity being stretched. Life will not be back to normal by Christmas, but certainly hopefully we are able to travel interstate, and it depends on the states in that regard. So it will be perhaps a bit of a slower, more of a grind out of these lockdowns, particularly for the city and for Melbourne in particular. But as in addition to what James said, interest rates aren't going anywhere anytime soon. You know, accommodative conditions remain from a monetary policy standpoint and even from a fiscal standpoint as well. The government keep throwing money at this, certainly it would be a terrible look for them to go in with a double dip recession going into an election in May next year. So think that the support is there for the equities to continue to move higher.
The market might want to be locked down forever given the performance. It feels great to be optimistic, even with a little caution. Look forward to the next 6 months.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by LiveWire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.